The all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class has arrived at Mercedes-Benz Oakville. Over 100 C300 and C400 models are incoming or in stock. This incredible new vehicle comes with attractive introductory lease rates and surprisingly low payments. Contact Mercedes-Benz Oakville to arrange your test drive. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.com.
The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Sportsnet 590, the fan simulcast on Sportsnet, the NHL Network in the United States. We are in NHL dressing rooms across North America, as well as at the NHL Board of Governors meetings in Boca. It is Darren Millard along with Billy Jaffe and Doug McLean. Hockey Central at noon will welcome Elliot Friedman on the program in a little bit. Las Vegas, the topic of conversation that burst onto the NHL scene yesterday. And Louis Jean from TVS Sports on what's happening with the Montreal Canadiens on the ice and what will happen pregame tonight as the Canadiens host the Vancouver Canucks. You can watch that one on Sportsnet Pacific and Sportsnet East. Calgary starts their four-game road trip in Toronto on Sportsnet West, and Edmonton in San Jose to complete a home-and-home on Sportsnet West. I wonder, on the heels of Paul McLean being fired yesterday, if there's some tight feelings around the San Jose Sharks, should they ever be swept by the Edmonton Oilers in this home-and-home?
Yes, there would be some tightness there. And there's tightness in a few other places because once, as history has shown, when one coach goes, sometimes GMs get itchy fingers. Or, as I keep alluding to, owners get itchy fingers because they're the ones that typically make the firings in today's NHL. Sorry, I'm not buying the GMs are still doing it.
So is that who made the decision in Ottawa?
I would say he had a lot to do with it. There's no doubt in my mind. None, as a matter of fact.
It's the old saying, too, when, the domino effect. One thing happens and, you know, the other one starts, the other things start to fall. You know, and people see, okay, somebody took the chance, somebody took the opportunity to make a move. We can't wait too long now. We've waited long enough. We can't make a move. We can't wait to make a move.
Listen, I'm glad Dave Cameron got the job. He's a friend of mine. We're teammates. He's a good hockey man. He's paid his dues. I'm glad he gets a chance. But Dave was promised this job 3 or 4 years ago when he was coaching in St. Mike's and the World Junior by Eugene Melnyk.
There you go.
And, he didn't get it at that time. Brian wanted Paul McLean, and they hired Paul McLean. And what did he do? He brought them some good seasons, coach of the year. I don't like the piling on Paul McLean. We all knew he was on the hot seat. I don't like the piling on.
Piling on by who?
By the media, by everybody in their organization.
Well, Brian, we love him on this program because he comes on and he speaks from the heart and doesn't pull any punches.
Just like he didn't do in his press conference.
Yeah, Brian Murray kind of led the way there. So,
yeah, and I, you know, again, Paul was there for what? This was his fourth season, and look, the team hasn't responded very well, but it's not all on Paul McLean here.
Listen, Brian did say in his conference, maybe at one point, maybe I do overestimate the players that we have or that I have, and I think he has. I think he has, as a unit, I think he has overestimated their ability.
This has been going on for a year.
Why did he give him a three-year deal?
Well, that happened before it really started to crumble, which was last season. You know, partway through last season is when things really started to crumble. I remember one night when they got hammered in Boston. They lost like 7-3 or something. And that was really the night that he was on the hot seat big time. Brian had to work to get through that. And Brian had to work at the end of the season to keep Paul and to give him another chance. And there was lots of talk that he would be under the hot seat all year, which he's been. But you know what? This team plays soft. This team plays loose.
Porous defense.
This team gives up a ton of scoring chances. And, you know, can Dave turn that around? I hope so for Dave and Brian's sake. But don't like, you know what? When a guy gets fired, you get fired. I don't like the piling on.
I've never heard it phrased that a person was fired because they changed as a person more than they changed as a coach. And that was the message I got from yesterday.
Well, the uneasiness in the room because of the person that helped Paul McClain was handling himself or was being
the repeated there. Phrase, the old Paul, the old Paul, the old Paul. It wasn't the old Paul, the coach.
Go ahead, Billy.
No, I'm saying, you know, I think that they were just looking for the final reasons to move him out there. And he also talked about what some of the top players that he, well, I remember the phrase, the star players, the top players felt that they were being singled out. Well, isn't that partly responsible of a star player?
Oh, the star, too bad.
But you saw that on Sunday night when Paul McClain took Erik Karlsson aside when they were down in that game.
So here's what happens. They lose Karlsson and they lose Spezza, and they have this unbelievable fairy tale season where Anderson stood in his head and the team responded, and they had a great year, unbelievable year. So then why does Paul change? Paul changes, okay, you win coach of the year, you feel good about yourself, you feel good about your career. Okay, there's a little bit of that. I get that. I understand that. As a matter of fact, I've sort of lived that, you know, where you start to think maybe you're a better coach than you really are. But by the same token, his team wouldn't play the same way. I watched them all last year and how loose they played. Why does a guy change? A guy changes because he gets pissed off at his group because they refuse to play team defense. And this group refuses to play good team defense.
Led by Erik Karlsson?
Totally. He's your captain. And you watch him. And look, we all love watching Erik Karlsson. Yeah. I love watching him more than anybody. But I'm telling you what, he's your captain and he gives it up as much as anybody, and that's a challenge. And let's not forget the Alfredsson leaving hurt Paul McClain probably from a leadership perspective. So, you know what? Paul McClain's a good person. He's still a good coach. Did he change? Yeah, he changed, but I think a lot of it was because of how his team responded and how they wouldn't play the right way to win in the NHL.
Wasn't the biggest margin of victory, but you could argue that they played their best game of the year. Possession-wise, shots on goal-wise, against the Vancouver Canucks.
After the first period.
Handling adversity. And they were fantastic in that game.
But, you know, Brian hated the way they've been playing, too. Brian likes offense, but Brian hated the looseness of this team's game. You know, there's no doubt he hated the looseness. And for whatever reason, as a group, they refuse to buy in to playing a game. We've watched it with the Leafs. We've watched it with Edmonton. We watch it with teams that refuse to buy in to the overall defensive game. And Dave's a good, solid hockey man that respects team defense. He will try as well to drill it into their heads. But eventually it comes down to personnel.
He also there was a philosophical difference in on-ice style, but also how the younger defensemen were developing. And he put a lot of onus on the coaching staff. That's, you know, to develop. And I always use Jared Cowan as the prime example. You know, Cowan would make a mistake and be out 3 to 5 games. Other guys would make a mistake and be out 3 to 5 minutes. And there is a big, Brian Fields felt there's a big responsibility on the coaching staff. And in particular, you're led by your head coach, obviously, to develop these players.
That's fair. Brian also is a guy that doesn't believe in a guy like Cowan missing games. He'd rather him miss shifts. Right. He'd rather him miss. You know, eventually Brian wants a guy sat. But
Jared Cowan wouldn't have played Sunday if Mark Methot wasn't injured.
Right. And the thing with Jared Cowan is he looked like he was going to be a horse. But doesn't some onus have to fall on Cowan too here? A little bit fall on him?
I want to get to a couple of other subjects here, but Dave Cameron takes over a 500 hockey team, who will start the tenure of Dave Cameron against the LA Kings on Thursday night. How do they finish? Above, at, or below 500?
I mean, I hope because I happen to like Dave a lot that they finish above, but I'm not counting.
Which
on
I'm
it.
Basically saying
I don't see them.
Are they just this team?
I don't see them getting in unless Anderson and Leonard. Ebbs, and look, they've both played exceptionally well for them. Especially, I mean, Anderson gives them a chance most nights. But if this team doesn't change its ways, they're not getting in. So Dave's got a big job to get them to change their style of play, or they're not making it.
I mean, if they get in, it says wild card. I think, and I said this yesterday, I was on doing some other stuff too. I think they're a They're a battle for a spot team at best, and which means they're a 500. That means they're a 500 team.
So they're one of seven teams. Like, who's a better team today, the Florida Panthers or the Ottawa Senators? Well, when you watch them both play, I'll tell you who's better. Florida are better.
Well, they're structured.
And then you're looking at, you know, you're in with that whole group of Jersey, Washington, Toronto, you know, that whole group. One of that group of six or seven is going to make it. It's a tough assignment for Dave. It really is.
I tell you, it just hits your heart when you see what's happening in Montreal right now and the funeral that is coming up tomorrow for Jean Béliveau and lying in state at the Bell Center and that picture of Guy Lafleur. Guy down both knees, kneel before the coffin. We will have the funeral for Jean Béliveau tomorrow. Ron McLean, Scott Morris, and Stephen Brunt in studio. Coverage starts at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Tonight, it's Montreal against Vancouver. That's ceremony tonight. Ooh. After what the Bell Center has housed over the last couple of days will be incredible. And from that, you've got that emotion to the St. Louis Blues and Martin Brodeur on the other end of pure euphoria and where Martin Brodeur was a couple of weeks ago, out of the National Hockey League, not knowing whether he was going to just go out with a whimper, comes back and wins a game at home last night, beats the Florida Panthers, and with the way Jake Allen has struggled since Martin, and I don't know whether it's got anything to do with a legend coming into the room, but Jake hasn't been great since they made this decision.
I don't see how it doesn't impact him.
Just psychologically.
Right, right.
But Brodeur, inching his way up.
And I think we said it at the time, don't ever underestimate it. You know, is he going to be able to do it? Is he going to replace Elliott? I don't. How do you ever underestimate this guy with what he's accomplished in his career? I'll be hard-pressed to believe it'll continue, but
right.
Never underestimate Marty, I'm telling you that.
This is a great, short-term opportunity, obviously, and I agree with you, don't underestimate him, but they could create an interesting scenario, be very interesting scenario there that could impact this team in either, obvious comment, a negative or a positive way, but how can he do it for the long term?
Elliot Friedman sat down with Martin Brodeur before the season started on the opening night, that interview on opening night of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. He will also be part of our team that will bring you the funeral for Jean Béliveau tomorrow. He's been busy because he was in Boca with the NHL Board of Governor meetings, and he joins us now. Elliot, in your time in Florida yesterday, that Las Vegas story seemed to just jump up and catch everybody with the season ticket drive and the board giving their approval. Had you been hearing anything about that, or did it just broadside everybody?
Well, last week, as I was working on the Saturday headline segment, I had a couple guys tell me they thought an announcement about Las Vegas could be coming next week at the board. And because I'm not that bright, I took that to mean that they were going to announce the franchise. And, you know, I checked that on the weekend with a couple people at the league, and they said 100% false. Will be no announcement about a team in Las Vegas next week. And they were right. There was an announcement about the team, but I didn't see the ticket drive coming, obviously, and I don't think anybody did. I think it's a smart move. You have an owner here. You have a building here. You have a lot of things that point it and say, if they want to put a team in Las Vegas, they can do it. And I think the one thing that they know is that they can sell the tickets because the casinos and whoever will buy them. What they don't know is, are people actually going to sit in the seats? And this is their best way to gauge the market. I think they still have to determine what their targets are. I don't think you're going to see this start before the new year. I think they're going to meet beforehand to talk about, you know, what do we hope to gain out of this? What are the numbers that we think is going to make this a success? But I think this is the last question a lot of people in the league has, and that is, are there local people there who will actually support the team? And this is their best way of answering the question.
Aren't we past that, where we have to do a check the market to see if people
will
buy it? Come on.
Doug, this market's different than any other.
Okay, so what does it tell you? Will you buy season tickets if an NHL team comes? Put $5 down if you agree to. I mean, come on.
And are they going to go
as a league past this?
After 3 years of losing.
I don't agree with it one little bit.
Elliot?
You're so negative, Doug. You're so negative.
Oh, come on. You live in Vegas.
When you were in Columbus, how did you guys do it?
We put season tickets out for sale after the franchise was awarded.
After the franchise was awarded.
Right.
And how many and how many acceptances or how much did people put down right away?
We sold 12,000 season tickets, and it was twice the typical price because they also had to buy a seat license.
Okay, so a lot of buildings now do the seat license. Now, they don't have to necessarily worry about seat licenses here, as you know, because the casinos are going to take care of it. But if you were the league, how would you handle this differently?
I would say, do you want to pay $500 million for a franchise? You got one. And then you worry about getting the season tickets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, do you think it really matters if somebody can say, oh, I'm going to buy season tickets? And 25,000 people say they will?
I think the question is, how much are you going to be putting down?
Yeah, and how much are they putting down? $250 or
I don't know the answer.
$3.
I think that's going to be the interesting question, Doug. No point about it. But like the thing is, though, Doug, if they do it your way, okay, and nobody goes to the games, they're going to get laughed at. But if they do it this way and they get an idea of what the commitment is from the non-tourist person who lives there, if it doesn't work, Doug, they walk away, they say no harm, no foul.
What commitment are they getting? What commitment are they getting? They're getting zero commitment.
Well, we don't know that yet. But the thing is, what this allows them to do, Doug, is it allows them to walk away before, if it doesn't work, it allows them to walk away without awarding the franchise, and there's no embarrassment.
So
they can say, we tested this, and it didn't work. And that, I think, in this case, is better than the alternative of awarding the franchise and then looking at game 46 and saying, you know what? The locals aren't coming to the game.
Isn't that up to the guy that's thinking about buying the team to do?
There's optics for the league here.
Do you don't think he's done market studies? Do you don't think isn't he in charge of that?
Absolutely.
And what commitment do you make?
The league's covering their butt here, too.
You don't have a franchise. You haven't been awarded a franchise, and you're asking people to put money out to say, oh, I'll buy season tickets? Come on.
Doug, hold on.
You gotta look at it this way. Look at the kicking they're taking on Florida right now.
Exactly.
Look at the kicking.
Florida? What's Florida got to do with it? Florida was awarded a franchise 20 years ago.
But think, come on, Doug. And they were sold out for five years in a row at one point. But there's nobody going to the games right now, and they're taking a beating.
And they build a new building because of the team.
That's not helping them right now. They're taking an absolute kicking on nobody being there.
So just a minute. Teams, that happens to teams all the time that you are successful, and eventually if your team's no damn good for 15 years, people won't go to the games.
But look at this, Doug. Look at it. Okay.
They could have done 1,000 surveys in Florida.
Let Elliot talk.
Hold on, McClain. Hold on a sec. They have been doing the same thing, and every league has been doing it this way all the time. In the NHL, that's worked in some markets, and it has not worked in others. Isn't the definition of insanity doing the same thing every time and expecting a different result?
What other leagues have done it? What other leagues have done it? The NBA, the NFL, do they do Major League Baseball? Do they do that?
What's wrong with being the first to try it?
Oh, I thought you said other leagues did it.
Elliot, what's
no, 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 no. But, not like this.
But, you know, obviously, Vegas is Vegas. We all know it's unique, it's different, everything. But what is the big bonus of being there for the league, considering it's not a great TV market?
Yeah.
And it's the question about the corporate dollars. We always hear about the casinos, right? That's the big core. But there has to still be more than that. So what is your feel or what's your take on what is the big, big interest in going to Vegas just to say or except to say they're the first in Vegas with a pro team?
Billy, I don't think the corporate dollars are the issue. I don't think so. I think they're working on a deal right now. Like the bonus is that you've got a casino here, MGM, that knows how the business and knows what it does, you know, across the world with along with AEG. What they have an arena. When you want to sell an arena, you got to have dates. An NHL team gives you 45 dates. And this is what I suspect. I don't know this, but I suspect the NHL, whoever owns this team, is going to work out some kind of a deal as an anchor tenant where they're going to get a percentage of the suite licenses for every event. And that's why I think this team in Vegas has a chance to be a financial success. I don't know that for sure, but everybody I know who knows about putting arena deals together says that is the NHL's advantage here. If you are the anchor tenant, the main tenant first before the NBA is, you can cut yourself a potentially better deal. And I think that's going to be critical to all this. I don't think they're worried about selling the seats. I don't think they're worried about the sponsorship rights. I think they are worried is if we sell these seats, how many people people are actually going to be in the crowd. And I think that's why they're testing this, even if McLean hates it.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
okay.
We could do a Wiser segment on
this. We could, to the point, but nobody's getting to that. Elliot, there's a side story to this. You don't expand by one team because that gives you the odd number.
Yeah.
So where's the second club going to go?
Well, I'm not convinced. I'm not 100% convinced yet that this is going to be expansion. I think because the arena isn't going to be ready for a couple of years, I think it gives the league options. Is it going to be expansion or is it going to be relocation?
Phoenix.
Until somebody tells me for sure that that's going to be an expansion team, I think it gives the NHL the option of doing either, Darren. I think Seattle's been kind of thrown into the whole purchase of the Clippers by the guy who was going to be the money man behind Seattle, I think has thrown that whole situation into doubt. I don't know where Seattle stands right now.
When are they doing their ticket survey? Is it coming?
You're so negative, Doug. So negative. Don't ever change.
Hey, analytics is getting a day off.
That's right.
I'm getting a day off. Just listen.
Ticket surveys. Yeah.
Do one in Phoenix. They should do a ticket one in Phoenix. See how that turns out.
Elliot, thanks for this.
I don't even know what I was talking about.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And tomorrow's going to be a difficult day. And it's going to be up at 1 o'clock. Ron, Steven, and Scott here in the studio. You're in Montreal?
I'm just I'm on my layover now. I flew to Miami to Toronto, and I'm flying to Montreal in about 30 minutes. I'm glad I was able to be available for that.
Thanks for the ticket campaign. When you find out what they're going to get from the people for those ticket requests, let me know, will you, if it's $5 or $10.
Well, there's another person who's not coming on the program, Elliot Friedman.
I'm going for $15.
$15 and you buy a season ticket.
Elliot Friedman, the...
and a full buffet.
Elliot, you're the fourth consecutive Hockey Central staffer to be a one and done.
As long as it's the Bellagio buffet, that's a good deal.
Exactly. Good point. Yes.
Perfect.
A 37th consecutive TKO by Doug McLean on a guest. Thanks,
Take
Elliot.
Take care, guys. Bye.
See ya. When we continue, we will check in with Louis Jean from TVS Sports.
Oh.
Both on what's happening with the Montreal Canadiens and their recent slump on the ice, but more specifically, what will happen tonight and then the funeral tomorrow for the great Jean Béliveau. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on Sportsnet and the NHL Network in the United States.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, the Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Back in the air in Hockey Central and in Sportsnet 590, the Fan, the NHL Network in the United States, and simulcast on Sportsnet. Here in studio with Doug McLean and Billy Jaffe, I'm Darren Millard. League news to tell you about, happenings around the NHL. Patrick Kane suspended 2 games for his hit on the weekend. Evander Kane, suspended 2 games. The Winnipeg Jet forward will miss a couple. And just a fine for Anders Lee for his hit on Carl Gunnarsson. A healthy scratch for Chris Stewart of the Buffalo Sabres, who will host the Los Angeles Kings tonight. And Chris Stewart not happy about that at all. Marched straight to the back of the dressing room and got unhitched from his gear and avoided the media there, but seems like a strange way, because there's Chris Stewart rumors have been out there for a while now.
Since the season began.
And maybe even all last season.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, just going to this year.
Since the trade deadline last year.
Last year, yes.
You could say his name's Doug McLean today, and he'll argue with you.
No, I don't think I've ever done Hockey Central with him, so basically this is a day off for me.
But is that not true? It's been out there.
It's very true.
As long as he's played in the league. Everywhere he goes, people want to trade him.
Well, but not after his, two 28-goal seasons with Colorado? Yeah. Or at least one, when he was big time. I mean, really, that was the next power forward.
There's no denying he's a good player.
Only played 8 minutes last time out against
Ted Nolan. I'm paraphrasing the quote here. He's a big, strong, tough guy who's playing a soft game right now.
Yeah, and, Timmy Murray is, you know, he knows there's three or four teams would like to add that type of player. So, you know, he's...
Does he have it in him if he goes to a better team, Doug?
Well, we haven't seen it. He had a couple good years in Colorado. He was good in St. Louis, then dropped off dramatically.
28 goals is his career high.
And then they looked forward to moving him out. Buffalo, hot and cold. He's a guy, I think, that goes with a good team. You know, you keep hearing his name with Boston. I mean, is he a guy that could fit in with Krejci and Lucic?
Yep.
Maybe, you know?
Yep.
Maybe he'd be motivated. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yes, that's
the biggest thing. If he's motivated, I think he could help some teams short term.
Big game tonight, Columbus at home to Philadelphia. A couple of teams that need to turn the corner, and they have to do it fast.
Dubinsky's back, and that's obviously, they feel that's been a big, big loss with Dubinsky out of the lineup. He's been a valuable guy for them since he's been there.
So good in the playoffs for them last year, going against Pittsburgh.
So, you know, again, it's the Bobrovsky-Mason matchup, and both teams desperate to, you know, and now all of a sudden, Columbus getting a little healthier. They had a, I mean, I was in Florida when they played in Florida the other night. I mean, they were outshot. It had to be 40-6 the last two periods of that game in Florida, and one beat Florida in the shootout. I mean, it was embarrassing how they played.
I don't believe anything out of Florida because the shots, stories that you come up with.
Thomas Fokoun used to win the save percentage every year.
You used to go to the shot clock operator and say, can you put up a couple of, for us, between Florida and Columbus, and you'd have the water dumped on the crease in Florida.
I hope things have changed.
So I don't trust stuff coming out of the statistical department.
They had six shots on goal the last two periods, according to the shot clock keepers in Florida. Then they go into Tampa and played well in Tampa. You know, they had a good, strong effort. So, you know, it'll be fun to watch tonight.
You think Brian
Burke's... I won't be watching, but it'll be fun to watch.
Think Brian Burke's looking forward to his hockey club playing well? The Cinderella story of the National Hockey League.
Is he in town?
In Toronto tonight on Sportsnet West. You can watch that one. Regional restrictions apply.
Has he had his press conference yesterday where he's going to call us all a bunch of what? What's he call us last time he's in town?
I think that was just you.
What's he going to say? I don't know what you're talking about.
What did he call us?
Brian Burke calls me names. He sends them directly to me. He doesn't call a press conference. That I know from personal experience.
Oh, no, I know it from being with you when those messages were coming.
Ding, 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 ding. Phone explodes.
That made our night one night in Carolina.
Yeah.
Big game, Calgary at Toronto.
See, I'm getting in a better mood now. I'm forgetting about that. Ticket campaign.
I think they're going to come to you to be the manager for the ticket manager.
That would be great. If they hired you as the president of hockey operations.
Ticket manager.
Ticket campaign manager.
Well, didn't you? Hey, hold on a second. Let me just flash back a couple of years. It just occurred to me. So they're doing a season ticket campaign.
Be careful. You're wrong here. So be careful. I know where you're going, but you're wrong. It happened before.
It happened. So they're doing this trying to gauge the market.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that happen a couple of years ago in Hamilton?
Yeah.
And who's in charge of that?
Jim Balsley.
No. Who did Jim?
So that happened before.
Who did Jim hire?
That happened before the week that I worked for him.
But who did Jim hire to see if Hamilton and the Cops Coliseum and everything was...
He hired me to facilitate the move from Phoenix to Hamilton. Nothing about any campaign. That happened a year and a half prior.
I'm not buying
that. Good try.
Not buying that. We've got Louis Jean coming up in a second, but time for the Hockey Central. Three stars. See how good Brett's doing with that? The music's, he's right on cue. First star for me last night was Martin Brodeur, and he puts another 20K into his pocket, and he wins at home, and he has the big smile on his face. He's interviewed by Darren Pang, and he comes up with the performance to beat the Florida Panthers. It was significant because, well, you've got a guy like Roberto Luongo in the building, and Martin Brodeur looked... I think he's looked great. For a guy he's always going to look a little clunky because we don't see guys with that style anymore. But he comes up with the performance last night,
and the right team,
26 saves,
and the right team. I mean, maybe a great choice of a team to pick. You know, with the way they play,
pretty structured team. Pretty, you know.
But he's had to make big saves, though, hasn't he?
Well, they're not perfect, But no, he's and he's still fun to watch, obviously. We see some of those old school. I'm going to go with Kevin Klein, though.
Kevin Klein.
Anybody loses part of their ear, a little bit of their ear,
yeah.
takes some stitches,
oh.
and comes back heavily involved in not just the goal in the overtime, but in the rush that led up to it. And here's the on the TV side of things. He takes a stick by, was it Sill, I think, right in the ear hole, and a little top of his ear comes off. He takes some stitches and then helps lead the rush in overtime for the Rangers after they burp up the lead again to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and yet they come back and they win in overtime. And Klein is playing more minutes now. Obviously, Boyle was injured early on in the season. Anton Strahlman goes to Tampa. When he came over last year, played just 15 minutes a game with the Rangers, and yet here, when he was with Nashville, he played regularly 20 minutes a game. So he's getting 17, 18 minutes a night now. He's involved, and he has a career high in six goals.
Doug, your star?
No, it's really easy. Rick Nash. I mean, he gets his 18th goal. Go after Sam.
No, no, Martin Brodeur gets 20 grand for every win. Mm-hmm. So a couple of grand for a deuce. What do you get for when you pick Rick Nash for a star?
I just get a feeling of satisfaction.
He just gets to say the name.
Yeah. Hey, he took some heat, quite a bit of heat last year in the playoffs. So I'm thrilled for him. So it's great to see him. And he's a different-looking player. He's got energy. He's got jump. I think he finally realized that training at 30 years of age.
He looks faster.
He looks quick, and he's playing a better all-around game. So great for him. Mentioning Klein, he became really important last year, him and John Moore in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it was that third pairing with the Rangers. So, hey.
New York Rangers back into a tie for a playoff spot. They have 28 points equaling the Washington Capitals.
I think they will.
But isn't it, they go to the finals last year, and they're on the bubble if they're a playoff.
It's like a Carolina.
Lundqvist has not been great, has
he? No, he isn't.
You know, so that's the and
their defense has been
average at best.
And it's getting, if it's healthy, you look at it and you say, this should be better than that.
Yeah, but hey, they're a bubble team. It's hard to, like,
I'm waiting for you to take Rick Nash on a day where he hasn't played the night before. And that will happen at some point. He had a really good practice yesterday.
I've done that in the past.
His off day was spectacular.
He got a lot done on that mandatory day off.
If the truth was known, some people out there would realize I do it as a joke. But no, others think I'm really serious.
Jen, Brett, Blake, I think it's Jen back there today. Just put in Rick Nash every day for Doug, and on the odd day we might have to change it.
Maybe Broussard. He was pretty good last night too.
Jake Voracek.
Yeah,
you start taking him.
Yeah, take Jake Voracek in there once in a while. Yeah. Anyway,
how about one of your backup goalies,
Steve Mason?
Really curious to see nobody does ceremonies like the Montreal Canadiens.
The best.
Ottawa was great last week.
Just presentation in general.
Yeah.
They just do better than anybody.
Okay. But Jeff Molson with Elliot last week did mention that they were going to do something with Jean Beliveau's seat 3 rows back.
Well, I gave you my suggestion, what I think it should be. Have you ever, you've been to Charlottetown, and you've been on Queen Street in Charlottetown, and you see that park bench,
yep.
and it's right on the little street there. What do we call that little street we walk down with all the restaurant and bars in Charlottetown? Anyway, whatever it's called. Right
Resto
at the
Row.
Corner.
What is it?
Resto Row. Yeah. Right on the corner is a park bench and John A. McDonald's statue's there. And all the people that walk by sit and get their picture taken with John A. McDonald.
Of all the places, you can't be asking me about Charlottetown. This is the one that you should know.
But shouldn't Victoria Row. But shouldn't, like, what about an unbelievable statue of John Beliveau in that seat? Bronze statue.
Here's Louis Jean.
Pretty cool.
He was covering the Board of Governor meetings, but also fully aware of what's happening in Montreal with the visitation and the game tonight against the Vancouver Canucks, first home game since the passing of Jean Beliveau, and the funeral tomorrow. Have you heard what the Canadians are going to do with Jean Beliveau's seat?
I have not heard specifically. I just know, as you know, that you know, the Montreal Canadiens, when they, and I spoke to Jeff Molson, the Canadian owner and governor, not long ago, as he was exiting the Board of Governors meetings, and they've got something special planned. But I don't, to be honest, I wish I had more details, but I do not. I just know that as an organization, nobody in the NHL, and I'm not sure if there's a lot of other organizations that know how to honor their own and their people better than the Canadiens organization.
Louis, I say a statue. I don't know what it'll. I'm sure it'll be an unbelievable plaque of some sort that'll be in that seat, which is just tremendous because it's been symbolic of the Montreal Canadiens to see him sitting there for so long. You talk about the celebrations Montreal Canadiens do, and I agree 100% with you. But isn't it more than that? Is there a guy that's played the game, and we know the Gordie Howe, the Bobby Orr's, the greats, but wow, has this guy? What's been said and talked? And you know better than us because you've been in the province of Quebec.
You're right. No, you're right. And it's funny because I was, you know, as a young Cub reporter when I was starting out, not long into my career, the Rocket Richard passed away. And I remember covering that at the time. And I just couldn't believe how big it was. And, you know, I couldn't believe, obviously, having never seen Rocket Richard play, I didn't really have a full understanding of the career and the impact that he had. And he had an impact socially in Quebec. I mean, the Rocket did. But it's amazing, you know, what Jean Béliveau has meant to the people in Quebec, but not just that, the outpouring of love and support that his family received and the stories that you've heard of Jean Béliveau. I knew how big he was. I'd seen all the statistics. I'd heard so many stories. I don't know that I was prepared or And it's, you know, it's bigger than the Rocket was, you know, it really is. And people, and I just did an interview with the commissioner, Gary Bettman, about half an hour ago. And the league has said as well, listen, it's right now the time it's a time to mourn, but the league will honor him and will do justice to the man that he was on the ice 17 times on the Stanley Cup. But it's even more impressive what he did off the ice. And so, you're right. I mean, he just impacted the game, and his last game was over 43 years ago. And agents and GMs have told me that they've told some of their players, you should model yourself the way you conduct yourself on and off the ice after Jean Béliveau. That's pretty amazing.
And the impact as well, Louis, that he and the other legends of the Montreal Canadiens have had, it seems that because they're in the community and because they become not just fixtures, but just role models in a way, that the players that come to this team, even players that aren't raised in, forget even in Montreal, but aren't raised in Canada, they seem to know more about the legends or the history of the team because of these players being around more so than other franchises, perhaps. And, I mean, it's a real testament. And so I ask you, as you cover this team regularly, how much do the players, you know, they all know of these, and they know of Béliveau, obviously, but did they even know more about him because of his regular presence?
Absolutely. You know, speaking to guys like Jose Theodore or former players, Patrice Brisebois, who went through a rough patch at a certain point in his career in Montreal where he was getting booed off the ice and had a very difficult time, he said that Jean Béliveau came up to him. And people don't know this. I mean, his last year, he was going to retire but was asked by the team to stick around because the organization felt that they were kind of turning a corner. They had some young guys that were coming up, and they wanted Béliveau to teach them what it is to be a pro and to show them the way, the winning ways, the right ways to conduct yourself on and off the ice. And so he stuck around one last year, ends up being the top scorer for the Montreal Canadiens. They end up winning the Stanley Cup that year against the Chicago Blackhawks, but he was getting booed. He was getting booed by the fans because he was so tall and strong and gracious. But he seemed almost, and Mario Lemieux was criticized like this as well at some points in his career, it just seemed so easy that people felt that he wasn't always giving the effort, and he was. And he had, you know, the team and the success of the team was always so important to him. So he reached out to Jose Theodore when he had some difficult times and you know, talked about, hey, stick with it, be patient, don't get down. And he did the same to Patrice Brisebois. And it really meant a lot. We had Patrice on our show the other day, and he talked about Jean Béliveau and what he meant to his career. And he teared up because when he retired, he was on the ice that night when he announced his retirement, and he had a picture, and he was honored with the Jean Béliveau Trophy for community involvement in Montreal. And it meant so much to him to be next to a guy who helped him when it was difficult, when he had trying times, who was there as well when it went well for him, and to have been influenced by the man, not just the hockey player. And so, you know, it's also raised debates or discussions about honoring and creating your own tradition in your own market. And I look at what the Ottawa Senators did with Daniel Alfredson, and to me, I think other teams are starting to get it. I feel that what the Ottawa Senators did with Alfredson
the reconciliation and honoring him the right way is what the Montreal Canadiens have done for years. You mentioned how we seem to know the Habs players more than we do a lot of other organizations. Well, it comes with winning, but it also comes with honoring your own players and taking care of your own players. And the ones that have set the tone and the ones that have set the example, you have to say, this is where the bar is right now. Now, I know that Alfredson never won a championship, but to a certain degree, to me anyways, that's a certain step that the Senators have taken that they probably learned from Beliveau and from the Canadiens organization.
You know, it's really amazing in our lifetime, or at least mine. I know I'm a little older than you guys, but to have Howe and Orr and Gretzky and Jean Beliveau, I mean, when you really think, who's the next guy? I mean, obviously Crosby's in that conversation, but who is the next guy that's going to have the reputation of these gentlemen?
Iconic status.
I mean, when you think about it, Howe or Gretzky, and other, I know there's others, but Jean Beliveau, how many? It's hard to imagine the iconic status that these guys have.
Yeah.
Well, especially this day and age where athletes are
social media, it's
getting
tough.
Into trouble on in different fashions. Whether it be performance enhancing or more serious,
and we have
issues.
great young players in our game, and somebody will, whether it's Sid or, but these guys have won championships. They've been gentle. We've been lucky.
Say that's. I think there's some pressure on this Montreal team tonight to go out and put up a performance with what's happened.
Totally. And Louis. They haven't, you know, I watched the game the other night in Dallas when they lost Weaver early in that game and they had to play their five defense. And that defense right now does not look very solid after Subban Markov. There's some problems back there.
You have a minute, Louis.
There's some problems. There's no question. They've got a 1-2. And if you put your GM hat on, Doug, you would probably say they've got a lot of fives and sixes.
Right.
And maybe sevens or eights.
That's my point.
The issue right now. So Beaulieu's been called up, but you're right. That is a very, very sore spot on this team right now. They like veteran presence, but the guys that they have, you sort of wonder the speed, do they have the right mix? I think as an organization right now, they feel that they've got some big concerns on the blue line now.
I watched their last couple of games, and I'm saying everybody wants to criticize Gilbert. He may have been one of their better guys in Chicago and Dallas.
Are you obviously heading home to Montreal, but any big stories out of the Board of Governor meetings this morning?
No, nothing. I mean, again, Vegas is a hot topic right now. The Phoenix situation, which the league says is going to get done, but I mean, that's something we've been hearing. But they're saying, listen, if it's not by January 1st, not long after that, that's going to get done. And the Commissioner Bettman also said that, look, stop talking about the Panthers as a possible relocation team or the Coyotes for that reason. It's nobody's going anywhere. We're not moving anybody. But speaking, to different owners off the record, there's clearly a sense of interest because you sort of wonder, are they really interested in expanding or do they feel that they need to make sure that a couple of franchises are a little bit more solid on solid ground? And the sense of the discussions that I had with two owners is that, hey, we're definitely intrigued. We're interested in expansion, but it has to be the right fit. And one has to wonder, is Vegas the right fit? Still kind of debating that, I guess.
Well, we'll know after their ticket campaign.
Led by Doug McLean.
And
is another topic.
$500 million divided by 30. Really, people like expansion a lot.
Louis Jean from TVA Sports and our former colleague at Sportsnet, but obviously working for our friends at TVA now. Thanks, Louis. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Louis. Great to talk to Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Great to talk to Louis. We haven't talked to him in a long time.
So you're down on this whole ticket campaign.
No, but you're just picking up on that?
Do you think it'll actually do you think they'll get a team?
I think they probably will get a team. I've heard it for a couple of years that there's going to be a team in Vegas and the NH, that it will happen.
Hold on. We've got 45 seconds left. Billy, you can talk now.
Why start? I'm going to go.
You're a filler on this show.
I'm going to go get a massage.
How do you think Elliot feels? He's on the beach.
Well, no, he's got burnt in the back. I got an earpiece in over here, but this left ear is the one that took the abuse today. You've been pent up for
it's
a few days.
Fun. Yeah. Come on, guys. It's fun. Everybody takes it too serious.
Oh, no, not here.
Thanks to Elliot Friedman. for stepping in and taking the beating.
Thankfully,
I do not get paid by the word.
Thanks for watching. Tomorrow, our coverage of the Jean Béliveau funeral starts at 1 o'clock with Ron McLean, Stephen Brunt, and Scott Morrison at the helm.